The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they are both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, one woman celebrates Mother's Day in an unusual way. She buys presents for her husband and children. She plans and prepares a special meal for her family. Her celebration may sound backwards to many people, but she says, "Without my husband and children, I wouldn't be a mother. So I want to thank them for a very important part of my life." Today's sermon is not to reverse the giver and receiver roles of Mother's Day, but let us realise that motherhood affects us all. When we talk about family roles such as mother, father and child, we are talking about relationships. You cannot be a mother, father or a child alone. Our text today tells us how God established family relationships. As we study our text, we hear God telling us that it is not good to be alone. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the not good of being alone. You may remember from reading the day-by-day account of creation in the first chapter of Genesis that God ended each day by looking over his achievement and saying, "It was good." At the end of the sixth day, God's comment was, "It was very good." Part of the good creation was the first human being. He was called man. He was not called Adam until the Lord God said in our text, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name, its name. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." You do not need a name if you are the only person in the world. Adam was made an individual. He was a one, a complete person. When God looked at the person he had created, he said, "It is good." But God also said that something was not good. He said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Even in the perfect Garden of Eden, before the fall into sin, God said that something was not good. It was not good for the person to be alone. God knew what was best for the man he had created. For the man to be everything God had made him to be, he could not live alone. Before we look at God's solution to the problem of the man being alone, let us take a look at our own lives. God now looks at you through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Because Christ has paid the price of your sin and has given you back to the holiness that was lost by the fall of sin, God can look at you and say, "It is good." You are a complete individual. In Christ, and only in Christ, you have become perfect in the sight of God. But God could still see a not good in you. The statement, "It is not good for the man to live alone," applies to you twice as much as it did to Adam. Like Adam, you were not created to be alone. You are part of a set of people who make up the human race. By your creation, you need to be in relationship with others. But you also need to be with others because of your redemption by Jesus Christ. When Christ saved you, he also saved others. His death and resurrection bring you and others into a relationship with him and with each other. As a Christian, God sees you and says, "It is not good for you to be alone." Please take a look at your life. Do you live alone? The answer does not depend on whether or not you have a family or a roommate. The loneliness that God is talking about is not based on the number of people who live at your address. Some married people are still very much alone. Some children and families separate themselves from the family and live very much alone. People who live in large cities, work with many others, belong to a church and organisations can be alone. When you include other people in your life, do you do it for your benefit or for their benefit? Are the people in your life those you work with or you work against? Do you feel you have to prove that you are right and they are wrong? Do you find fault with others to show that what you do is better? Do you find that you cannot tolerate those who have different ideas about religion or politics than you? Do you separate yourself from others who you think are too stuck up, too rich or too poor, too sinful or too self-righteous, too intellectual or too ignorant? As you examine your own life, you may find that you often separate yourself from others. If you avoid problems that other people have, you do not have to help to solve those problems. If you avoid the joys that other people have, you do not have to wonder why you do not have some of the same joys. You can protect yourself from many risks by staying away from people. But the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." So God's first answer is marriage. Back to our text. God's first solution to the loneliness of the man in the Garden of Eden was to create a woman. God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep and performed the world's first surgical operation. He removed one of Adam's ribs and from it created a woman, a wife for Adam. When Adam saw his wife, the problem of loneliness was gone. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." It was only after the fall that Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. When God created Eve, she was another individual, a woman. Like Adam, she was a complete person. When God saw her, he also said she was good. But also like Adam, she was not meant to be alone. She was created to be with another person, her husband Adam. The creation of the woman changed Adam. Before, he had been an individual. He had been a man. Then, he became also a husband. His wife added a new role to his life. Eve shared part of his life, and he shared part of her life. He gave up a part of his individuality to receive some of the individuality of another person. The two became one, and yet they remain individuals. Imagine two pieces of cardboard, each representing the figure one. But when you put the two side by side, they make the figure 11. Each remains a one, but together they make something else. In marriage, one man and one woman remain two individuals, but they also become something else. They are a marriage partnership. However, we also need to be careful about God's first answer to loneliness. The text does not say that each person must be married. It says that it is not good that we live alone, and marriage is only one of the ways that the problem of loneliness is removed. Also, marriage is not a guaranteed solution to the problem of being alone. Married people can still be alone in the sense that God said it was not good. A person who is married but who still lives only for himself or herself still has the problem of being alone. Sometimes husbands or wives do not know what to do with Mother's Day. No woman wants to be regarded as her husband's mother, and a man has his own mother to remember or honour this day. Yet this day can be a reminder for both the husband and the wife. Without each other, they will not have the title of husband or wife. Alone, each could be a complete individual, but in marriage, something has been added to their lives. Do you who are married recognise the gift God has given you in your marriage? If you want your spouse only because you need a marriage partner, then you are still alone, even in marriage. But if being a husband or wife adds to your life, it makes you aware that you can give to the life of another person. If it makes you aware that another loves you so much that he or she gives you your life, then it is good that you live together. The New Testament used the relationship of husband and wife to illustrate Christ's relationship to the church. We know Christ gave himself for the church and promised to be with us forever. This is God's eternal solution to the problem of loneliness. Because of Christ, we will not have to be alone, even beyond the grave. And Christ's blessing of his presence is also for us now. In our husband and wife relationship, we have the presence of Christ. His love and grace gives us our togetherness now. God's second answer, children. Children are God's second answer to the problem of loneliness. When God gave the man and woman to each other, he also told them that children would be a part of the relationship that he had created. Again, God added something to the person of each individual. Woman who became wife also became mother. Man who became husband also became father. Two individuals can be united in marriage, but they can also be together in other ways. They can be father and child, mother and child. God's greatest joy had been the creation of a person. We can assume that God did not have to let us share in that great work. He could have created all the people he wanted by his commanding word. Or God could have ended the 6 days of creation with it to be continued. Then every year, God could have created more people. But instead, he let us be part of his work. He let us be fathers, mothers, and children. Mother's Day is a good time to thank God that he lets us share in the act of creation because it gives us a chance to look in both directions. We thank God for our own parents. Through them, God has created us. Because we were born in relationship with people, we do not have the problem of loneliness. Our parents also were the channels for other gifts from God. Through them, we receive food, shelter, care, education, and above all, the message of God's love, both law and gospel, through Jesus Christ. And on Mother's Day, we can also look to our own children, or for your younger people, to the dream you might have of future children. Being a parent keeps you from living only for yourself. As you love your child and willingly sacrifice for that child, you'll grow in the love that God has for us. You'll see why God continues to come to us with love and grace, and continues to care for us. God's third answer is other people. One more caution. Just as the text does not say that every person must marry, it does not say that every married couple must have children. The statement from God is that we are not to live alone. We may live in relationship with others in marriage and family, or we may be united with other people in other ways. God also has given us many human relationships. Think of the names that you may be called or that you call others. Brother, sister, grandparents, grandchildren, uncles, aunties, cousins, neighbours, friends, employees, employers, classmates, church members, and citizens. Each of these indicate a relationship. Each of them says that you are not alone if you live out the full meaning of those relationships. You as an individual can be related to many people in many ways. Because some people are husbands and wives, because some are mothers and fathers, there are many people in the world. Each person is a special individual with special needs and special abilities. And each person needs special relationships with others. On this Mother's Day, let us be thankful for the parents of our friends, our neighbours, and the people who are important in our lives. Through them we live full lives. Through them we have the opportunity to give to others and to receive from others. God himself became part of the system of blessings for people through human relationships. God's Son was also born of a human mother, and he became part of our lives in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Through Christ, we can also be part of the lives of many other people, and they become part of our lives. So as God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.